Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is obviously not Aaron Flint because Aaron is out of country today and tomorrow. I'm former Congressman Denny Rehberg, former Lieutenant Governor and State Legislator, filling in for Aaron. Got a great deal of respect for him because this is not the easiest job with this board in front of you pushing buttons and welcoming people. But I have Dave Galt on the line today. And Dave, welcome. He's currently with the Montana Petroleum Association, soon to be retiring. I call him a quitter, but he's got a job that my dad used to have back in the 70s, the Montana Petroleum Association. Big shoes to fill, and welcome, Dave. Good to have you.
Former Congressman Rehberg, it's a pleasure. I appreciate the invite.
Tell us a little bit about the oil and gas industry. What's going on in Montana? Is it a bright future? Why aren't we doing as much as North Dakota seems to be in the Bakken? But we have part of that. Tell us a little bit about the industry.
You know, we still have some drilling going on in, Roosevelt County and Richland County and in the Bakken. We have a couple of companies up there that are drilling wells and are active. Frankly, from my past experience with MPA, we didn't really have the resource that North Dakota had. We kind of had the edge, and it runs out, into that Roosevelt County area. As far as the forecast, we're really concerned about Biden-Harris rules and how that's going to affect folks in our industry that are producing oil, especially those up on the high line that do a lot of marginal, low-producing wells.
Can you explain a little bit about the difference between the big wells and the stripper wells? Something I've had to learn over the years, and they're not as profitable, but you see the drilling rigs all over the state of Montana. What's that all about? What's a stripper well?
So really what we're talking about is oil wells that produce less than 15 barrels of oil a day or 90 MCF of gas a day. When you look at Montana and you look at the Montana map and you take a look at Browning to Saco to Wolf Point and then down to the Missouri River, that area has been historically rich with oil and gas, but it's shallow. So we're talking, conventional wells that are straight down anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 feet, as opposed to the shale kind of stuff that's going on in Richland County and Roosevelt County, where those wells are down 10,000 feet, and then they do a lateral 3 or 4 miles out, and they do hydraulic fracturing, which has a lot higher production. So 25% of Montana's oil and gas development occurs with these what we call stripper wells.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go to a short break. I want to carry you over into the next segment because I want to talk to you about fracking. What's that all about? Not everybody knows what a frack is. I'm not sure I know what fracking is. So we'll pick you up after a little bit of a local break.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, again, this is not Aaron Flint. It's former Congressman Denny Reberg filling in for Aaron today and tomorrow. And we're on the line with Dave Galt with the Montana Petroleum Association. Dave, tell us a little bit about what is fracking.
Do you mind, Congressman Reberg, if I hand this phone off to the new executive director, Sonny Capice?
You bet.
He is fresh off the campaign trail with Congressman Zinke and has been his district director, and he's awesome. Here you go.
Sonny, welcome. And welcome aboard to the Montana Petroleum Association. Congressman Zinke was supposed to join me yesterday and did not because he had a little bit of travel problems in Chicago, which happens to congressmen. I can honestly say I know a little bit about that, but glad for the change. I bet you're looking forward to hitting the ground running in January 1st. You're going to be in Helena lobbying on behalf of the industry. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit?
Former Congressman, it's great to be with you. I'm Sonny Capice. I'm the new executive director for the Petroleum Association. I can tell you, I have a little bit of firsthand experience with those travel issues. It's tough for our public servants, especially at the federal level, making their way between D.C. and Montana. We're the end of the line when it comes to public transport and the supply chain. And I know that we deal with those problems, and I appreciate the work that you did in your time in Congress and that our current congressional members are doing to alleviate those issues.
Well, what did you do in Congressman Zinke's office? What was your responsibilities?
I was the congressman's district director. I helped handle all the in-state operations for the congressional program that our office put forward. Casework, constituent issues, and making sure the issues affecting Montanans got back to D.C. and were addressed by Congressman Zinke.
Did you have some responsibility then as you traveled around with the oil and gas industry?
You know, I did to an extent. A lot of it was sort of the ripple effects of oil and gas, energy transmission. Obviously, western Montana has a lot of high voltage transmission lines. And, different energy portfolio over there with some of the hydroelectric dams. So I worked pretty well with the electrical companies, but we had a few wells over in the eastern part of our district up by Conrad and Browning and Valier. But as far as, the heart of oil country, other than some of the federal issues, this is a little bit of a somewhat of a brave new world, but I'm excited to learn it. I've had some great opportunities to meet with our refineries and some of our upstream producers up in Shelby. It's been a great learning experience, and I look forward to working with the industry and my members to advance the ball and really take advantage of what's coming with this new federal administration and our great state legislature and administration here.
Well, I was lucky enough to represent the entire state of Montana. I didn't have to think about are they in my district or not. Everybody in Montana was in the district, and you probably will have to do the same. You'll have to pick up some of the things that are of interest in eastern Montana, even though Congressman Zinke did not represent or does not anymore represent eastern Montana. Do you think the pipeline is going to be an issue in the upcoming Congress? And is there any involvement on the part of the Montana Petroleum Association for the pipeline that would go through eastern Montana?
You know, Danny, I'll tell you, I'm lucky. Once upon a time, I was part of, at the time, Congressman Gianforte's office as well when it was an at-large district. And I did get to deal with a little bit of the Keystone XL stuff when that was still a reality. I do think Congress is going to be addressing the pipeline issues. I don't know what it's going to look like yet. I think a lot of folks are still holding their breath and waiting to see how that's going to shake. I think the biggest thing is going to be the appetite from pipeline operator companies to put their neck out there again and see what happens. That was a huge blow to the industry when the Biden administration shut that down on day one. That cost a lot of people,
you know, great opportunities, especially in Montana. And we're waiting to see. But I'm cautiously optimistic. If things look like they did in the first Trump administration, I believe there will be opportunity to get some pipelines up and going again. I never underestimate that man. I think there could be some magic coming that makes the environment very good for pipeline construction and operation.
That's good to hear. You know, one of the questions I asked of Dave, and a byproduct of fracking is gas. Is there any in Zinke's old new district, Western Montana? And to what extent are you going to have to educate yourself about the gas opportunities within fracking and the oil and gas industry?
You know, we have some pipelines running through our district. Predominantly, it's downstream pipelines, from what I understand. You know, there's some gas production that was in the eastern part of Montana 1's district over by, you know, Valier. And, you know, that's obviously alongside with some crude oil production. I know the biggest hindrance, I think, to the gas industry right now is we need some liquid natural gas condensing plants so we can start exporting this stuff again. Obviously, again, that was a Biden administration folly. To put it kindly, the moratorium on that, on the export or the ban.
Really. Well, we're going to get cut off, Sonny. I want to welcome you to the Montana Petroleum Association. Obviously, it's near and dear to my heart because my dad used to be in the same position. You've got a lot of work to do and a lot of education to educate Montana. So, again, Sonny, thanks for joining.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Aaron Flint did not show up today. He's out of the country, and I'm filling in for him. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg, former Lieutenant Governor, state legislator, and I'm on the line with John the Joker Jackson. John, where did you get the moniker of Joker?
Oh, that is straight up. Do you know the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Of course.
In there, the main character is Private Joker, and that's where I got that nickname.
Now, let's see. You used to work for DEI, is it, or DEA? DEI is that liberal group that's trying to foist alternatives on us around America. Were you DEI or DEA?
I have no knowledge of any such agency, nor would I be able to comment on it if I did.
Covering your bases, you don't want to talk about it. It's good to have you on. I listen to you as well. I ranch outside the city of Billings. Obviously, I've traveled all over Montana. I made the foolish promise that I'd represent or visit all 56 counties every year that I was in elective office, and I did that as lieutenant governor for 6.5 years and as a congressman for 12. So I had a lot of opportunity to listen to Aaron Flint's show and most recently to get to hear you. Pretty unique. What's your background? Why do you get on his show? And I understand you're going to be on Friday as well, but I wanted to take the opportunity to have you on while I was doing Aaron's show. What have you been doing all your life, and where are you now?
Well, I was a federal agent for 30 years, and I've always been a conservative my whole life, but of course when I'm working, I keep that stuff to myself mostly. But then when I retired, I really started getting on when President Trump was elected in 2016. I really started getting on into social media, onto Twitter, and that's how I ran into Aaron Flint out there on Twitter. Then I ran into him at a couple of the different Republican gatherings and dinners and stuff, and he asked me, hey, why don't you come on the show, and came on the show, and we just had a great time. We're always laughing and cutting up, and also talking about the serious issues, and became good friends.
I don't know if you know, when I was a congressman, I was the co-chair of the Northern Border Caucus. And, you know, we have a tendency to dwell on the southern border and all the problems with drugs, prostitution, gangs in the southern part of the United States. But people weren't really paying attention to the northern border and the level of prostitution that was coming in for the Asian countries, the drugs that are coming in. Are you following that issue at all? Along the northern border and some of the downside that's being created by, as we strengthen the southern border, the northern border problems? And did you have any involvement with that over the years in your career?
Sure. Part of my 30 years, I worked for 7 years right here in Montana. And we got into that quite a bit. And I even saw that from working down in South America, as long as I did, we would have these guys, these crooks or illegals that couldn't get, say, a visa down there to the United States, even if they bought one, they still couldn't qualify. What they would do is fly into Canada, which didn't have the restrictions the United States had, just fly into Canada and walk across our northern border. And you imagine what people who really have want to do us harm. That's what they're going to be doing, is coming across the northern border where there's not near as much scrutiny.
Well, it was always interesting to me. I flew helicopters while I was a congressman, and I'd fly that northern border and see tracks driving across from Canada into the United States. We had to rely a lot on the farmers and ranchers in the area of eastern Montana, but a lot of the problems were in the treed areas, the western one-third, where you had the Glacier Park and Libby and some of those areas. Did you have a connection with the Border Patrol and all the things that we did for them, building them new houses, getting dogs, the electronic opportunity to surveil them from the mountaintops with cameras? Did you get involved in that, or what did a DEA agent do differently than the Border Patrol does?
Oh, sure. We worked hand in glove with those guys all the time, and they were always great. They are assigned with the, as you know, the physical security of the border. The DEA works very complex investigations against international drug trafficking rings. And a lot of times we would be, say we're working in conjunction with Canadian authorities, we get some kind of tip of something going on. We're going to need to involve the Border Patrol at some point, every time, and they're always great.
What do you think of the person that future President Trump has nominated for the DEA? Do you know him? And, you know, what would you do differently within that agency if you were the one that was actually picked by President Trump?
Funny you should say that, Denny, because that guy withdrew his name yesterday. He is out. Yeah, he's out of the running now. And I'm glad he did. A lot of bad stuff came out about that guy very, very quickly. Bottom line, he was a COVID lunatic and pretty much a Democrat. And I don't think much vetting went into his selection. And I hope the next guy who's selected is a whole lot better. But what would I do? It would all be about enabling the agents in the field. I'm going to enable them all to follow the law, every piece of the law they can use against the traffickers. They're going to get all the money and all the support they need, and that's not just domestically, that is overseas. We're coming with everything we got. We're cutting the paperwork in half. We're coming at you with everything we got.
I'm not sure I really understand what DEA is. What do you have responsibility for? I mean, first of all, how many DEA agents are there in America? And then is it strictly drugs, or do you dip into ATF? Or, you know, what does a DEA agent do?
You are in charge of hunting down and arresting the highest level of international drug traffickers across the world. And we're going to be doing that in every sector. And the thing about crime, if you noticed about crime, drugs is in almost every crime. You bisect with every other agency out there, with the FBI, with the Border Patrol, with the ATF, everything involving terrorism and weapons and everything. Somewhere there is a drug nexus, guaranteed. It's one of the cornerstones. The narco dollar is one of the cornerstones of the thing that finances crime everywhere in the world.
You know, one of the things we hear about, and I don't want to cast aspersions on any particular group or segment of Montana, but why does it seem like the reservations are a hotbed for the gangs moving in and establishing territories and then leaking out throughout the state? What makes the Native American population so much at risk, or is that a misnomer? Is it everywhere? You hear of the drug crimes that are now occurring in places like Billings and Great Falls and Missoula, but why do the gangs seem to congregate to certain segments of our society in America?
No, you're absolutely right. They are uniquely at risk for a couple of reasons. First of all, local law enforcement, that is Montana state law enforcement, doesn't have any kind of jurisdiction on the res. So what do you have? You just have their local police and then the handful of federal agents that are in Montana to help them out. Second of all, you've got a population there that has they get a stipend every month. They have disposable income at their fingertips every month. And you put those two things together, disposable income and almost no real effective law enforcement out there, and you've got a crime hunting grounds for these cartels and these drug traffickers and these human traffickers. And I think you've seen in the voting that happened here a month ago in November, I think a lot of the people on the reservations are waking up to who has been victimizing them all this time, and it is Joe Biden and the Democrats with their open border and weak on crime policies that has been victimizing these reservations all these years.
Well, we see it, and it's gone on for years. I most recently met with the people from Fort Belknap. The mayor is actually former law enforcement, and he's frustrated along the Canadian border as well. And they always talk about the multiple jurisdictions and they don't have enough FBI agents. How's the DEA distributed around Montana? Are you mostly housed in the major metropolitan areas, or do you have people living in Harlotin and Lewistown and Malta and such? Where do you reside, I guess, as DEA agents?
Well, you know, once again, Daddy, if I knew that kind of thing, I still wouldn't be able to. No, you know, what's the great line from Negan from The Walking Dead? I am everywhere. Right? No, we are. You're exactly right. We are just in the main city centers in Montana, and we have been screaming about this. I first came to Montana in 2000, have been in and out since then. And the agency has been screaming for years that we need more people here. And you could easily put another 15 or 20 agents in the state of Montana and still just be working 12 hours a day. We need more people.
John, I thank you. You've taught me a lot. I've enjoyed the conversation. I'm going to listen to you on the Aaron Flint Show in the future. And I really appreciate you educating the people of Montana and myself, informing us of what you do. You do God's work, and get after those guys. Get rid of them. We don't want them in Montana.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Farmer and rancher sentiment surged in November, with the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer rising 30 points to 145. That's the highest level since May of 2021. The Future Expectations Index jumped 37 points to 161, while the Current Conditions Index raised 18 points to 113. This optimism stems from expectations of a more favorable regulatory and tax environment following the election. Financial outlooks improved significantly, with 34% of farmers anticipating better times in the next year, more than double October's rate. Investment confidence also grew as the Farm Capital Investment Index hit 55, its highest since May of 2021 as well. Despite slight dips in farmland value expectations, both indexes remain robust. While farmer sentiment is up, farm sector profits are forecast to fall in 2024. The net farm income forecast is looking to come in at just under $150 billion for calendar year 2024, down $6 billion or 4.1% relative to 2023. Inflation-adjusted farm income is forecast to drop by $9.5 billion. Despite the predicted decline, net farm income in 2024 would be 16% above the 20-year average of $121.4 billion. I'm Wayne Northlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning. The state of Montana is listening right now, and this is former Congressman Danny Rehberg. I'm going to hit the phone lines here and introduce Keith Rosenblum to you. This is a unique interview because we have about 1,500 Jews in Montana, but we hear a lot about what's going on in Israel. And I just thought I'd give Montanans an opportunity to hear from Keith Rosenblum. He's in New York City in Connecticut. But I gained a great deal of knowledge about Israel and why it's important to us in America. Keith, are you on with me?
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm good. Why don't you quickly introduce yourself? And we have about 11 minutes to talk about why Israel matters to Montana.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to do that, and I'm also, if you don't mind, happy to let everybody know what a great friend and supporter you have been to Israel and really to taking the moral high ground when you served in Congress. You know, that's how, it's really how you and I met each other many years ago, and I don't know if people appreciate it, but you know, there's 200,000 Ethiopian Jews that were rescued from, you know, certain death in Africa, that were brought to Israel. And Danny Rehberg played a very important role in making sure that those people were resettled properly in the one country in the world that would take them, which was Israel. So I don't know if you have enough credit for that, Danny, but
Thank you.
Hopefully there's enough people listening to this that it resonates, because really your focus on being a humanitarian, I think, meant a lot to a lot of people.
Well, I enjoyed it as well. And Keith, you've been a good friend. You introduced me to the Republican Jewish Coalition, which I didn't even know existed. That was kind of fun, because historically you think of Jews as, you know, in New York City or maybe in Florida, and they haven't always been Republicans, but there's a lot of them out there, and they certainly turned the tide in this most recent election for Donald Trump.
Well, that's a different topic, but I think that's accurate. I think what you said is accurate. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I think a lot of people appreciate things on both sides, but the protests on you know, college campuses last summer, I think were really horrifying to a lot of people. And I will answer your question because it's important as to why Israel is important to Montana and is important to America. You know, it's one of our most reliable allies. Israel's technological contributions are things that you and I use every single day, right? There's a chance, there's 75% chance that the medicines that you or your parents or your grandparents take, the delivery mechanism was developed in Israel. The texting on your phone, which I'm sure you do every day, was invented at the Technion in Israel. I mean, the primary stuff behind that. You guys are in Montana. Agricultural, you know, the agricultural technologies developed in Israel that have helped feed the world are extraordinary. Everybody always knows about the drip system. You and I used to joke about that. But the reality is, you know, tomato farming, strawberry farming, hydroponic farming, a lot of that fundamental technology was invented in Israel. The USB flash drive was invented in Israel. Waze, I don't know if you ever used that, or Google Maps on your phone, but that was invented in Israel. So many types of surgeries. So the list goes on in terms of those technological, you know, contributions. And I think that's pretty important. But the one thing that I don't know, that I think just jumps out, is there is a, you know, as the only functioning democracy in the Middle East, Israel shares, I think, the fundamental tenets of you know, Judeo-Christian values, which is the form, you know, the foundation of any functioning democracy. And perhaps that's why Israel is the only functioning democracy in the Middle East. But if you think about, what our country was founded on, you know, the basic principle of treating your neighbor as you would want to be treated, that's it, right? Denny, I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness can kind of be boiled down to the golden rule.
Well, you had continually invited me to join you, and I unfortunately never did. Jen and I did go to Israel for a quick trip, and then Jen went over and spent a lot of time with the church group from Montana going to Israel and took our children. You make quite a few trips. What do you do with you and Laura? Do you invite people over and take them around and teach them a little bit about America and send them home? What are you involved in?
So first of all, so the answer is yes. And it's my favorite place in the world to go is Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And we love take people who are Christians, we love taking them around. There's not a safer place in the Middle East for Christians to live and to prosper than in Israel proper. If you look at the demographics, which is really wild stuff, you know, as to where, you know, I'll just track it for a second. Lebanon used to be 80% Christian in 1900. 80% of the population was Christian. Today it's less than 30%. Israel has been pretty consistent with its Christian population. Christians thrive. They love access to the churches, and I love going to the churches, so I think that's just a great thing to do. But what I was going to tell you was what we do is mostly charitable work. You know, I've been on the board of this organization called United Hatzalah for 16 years. It's the largest charity by number of volunteers in Israel, the Volunteer Ambulance Corps. It's documented. They answer a life-threatening call every 90 seconds. And one-third of the people are Israeli Arabs, one-third is secular Israelis, and the other third is Jewish Israelis. And it's just a fantastic organization that rescues people when they're having a heart attack or choking or they get hit by a car or something. And it's just a wonderful thing. So we love that.
Well, have you been to Montana?
Have I been to Montana?
I know the answer to this.
My roommate from college who lives, he's lived between Whitefish and Kalispell. We had a little company called Eli's in Montana. So I've had an opportunity to spend some time in Whitefish and Kalispell, Flathead Lake, which I love. You took me to some of the most fun events ever. I went to go to pig racing, which I highly recommend to anybody go to.
Bear Creek, Montana, Pittsburgh.
Right, the Red Lodge in Bear Creek. So love that stuff. So yes, I have been to Montana. And I wanted to share with you one thing that Laura and I are doing right now, because it didn't occur to me, but just so happens, we are hosting 9 Israeli children right now in our home who are of their bar mitzvah age. They all came from a place called Kibbutz Re'im, which was decimated on October 7th. And one of the kids took a bullet to the chest, and his brother took a bullet to the head. He's fine. The kid that's actually not fine is maybe their middle brother who watched all this go down. But these kids are, we brought them here to the U.S. They're staying with us. They're seeing a Broadway show tonight. They're going to a Knicks game tomorrow. You know, we're just trying to show them a good time. But, you know, when I think about these kids and their families who've been homeless for 14 months, you know, it makes me think a lot about how, you know, we as Americans and as a community came together when Russia invaded Ukraine. You know, Denny, everybody reached out, if you think about it. We all helped, close to 7 million Ukrainians quickly repatriate and get out of harm's way.
Well, we're going to end up having to go to a hard break. I really appreciate you joining us, Keith. Again, we got about 1,500 Jews in Montana, essentially in Butte and Billings and Missoula. Some of them came at the turn of the century. It's a fascinating background, and they are one of our best friends in the world in the Middle East as well. Keith, yeah. I really enjoyed going to your wedding. I'd never been to a Jewish wedding, and thank you for having an interpreter there educating us the entire time, because it was thrilling. And not only are you married now, I think you have 3 kids. Didn't take you long. Yeah. But Keith, thanks for joining us in Montana the Aaron Flint Show, and look forward to many years of friendship with you and the Jewish community of America. You're just great.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
Thanks, Danny.
You betcha.
Talk to you soon.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is not Aaron Flint. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg. Used to represent the entire state of Montana. In fact, I mentioned, I think, on the air yesterday, I'm the longest-serving United States Congressman representing the state of Montana. People say, well, Pat Williams was there 18, but he didn't represent the whole state. He only represented the state for 4 years, Rick Hill for 4 years, and then we've had quite a number, Steve Daines and Jim Forte and such and such. But I'm proud of the fact that I was in every single community every year. I made the promise when I became lieutenant governor in 1991, I traveled to all 56 counties every year. That was easier to do because I was living in Helena. I kind of got myself in trouble because I went up to meet with Stan Stevens. He was in the process of changing lieutenant governors, and I thought I was going up for an interview. I went to the governor's mansion. I sat down with he and John Brennan and some of his advisors. And he said, I want to appoint you lieutenant governor. Will you take the job? And you got to move to Helena for 16 months. There's no guarantee I'm going to win re-election. Will you do it? And I said, well, heck yeah. Why wouldn't I? Well, I got to Harlaton, Montana, Wade's Drive-In, and I thought, oh, my God, I haven't asked my wife. I haven't told her. She's practicing law in Billings. We have to uproot our 2 kids, move to Helena for a 16-month job. And so hat in hand, I put the quarters in the payphone up there and said, Jan. And she said, don't ever do that again, but we'll move to Helena. So I traveled all 56 counties. I can't say enough about my wife. We've been married 46 years, together for 50. Why were we not married for 50 years instead of 46? Well, our parents weren't going to pay for college if we got married, and we're not stupid. So we took full advantage of our moms and dads, and they helped us through both Montana State, Oregon State, and Washington State educations, as well as George Washington University Law School. I hope this has been helpful for you. I've listened to Aaron a lot, and he's had a lot of guests on. It's interesting to schedule
Sometimes you have to cut people off because we have hard breaks and have to introduce the people that are coming on. But I hope it's been informative for you, for the kinds of people I've brought in. I get to do this one more day tomorrow, and then I'm going to tell Aaron never again. I was happy to volunteer to fill in for him, but at 69, I just want to go back to the ranch, shoot prairie dogs, and manage the cattle that I have. I've been in the cattle business a long time. Actually raised goats for a while when I was appointed lieutenant. I mean, when I ran for Congress in 1999-2000, was successful. I had 600 cashmere goats. And that's where cashmere comes from. It's an underdown on a goat. And we would sell to Montana Knits, who would spin it and dye it and turn it into sweaters and scarves that we sold at Lord & Taylor and Saks Fifth Avenue. So I've had a interesting career, whether it be as a state legislator, lieutenant governor, and congressman, but also being in the cattle and the goat business. I have a ranch on top of the rims overlooking the city of Billings, which is wonderful. I did not create that, by the way. My great-grandfather, who I grew up with, he was born in 1873 up in Marysville, ran away from home at nine, moved to Cascade, but then ended up at Fort Assiniboine breaking horses at the ripe young age of 11. Eventually made his way down into Blaine County. And if you've ever been to the Stafford McClellan Ferry that's on the Missouri, my great-grandmother, who passed away when I was in college, and we lived with her on the ranch, she was McClellan. And that little cabin used to be there. I always remember her saying that she would rather have had her house burned down than the two floods that occurred as a result of being right next to the Missouri River. But I'm lucky to come from a long stock of Montanans. The Rebirds got to Montana in the 1860s and been hanging around since then. It's been a wonderful life that I've had. I've got three children. I wish they'd all come back to Billings. One's in Omaha and one's in Columbus. But it's been an interesting career and ride for me, living in Billings, but traveling the entire state of Montana. And people have been very kind to open their home to me. Keith was interesting. He was my last guest. He's Jewish, comes from New York. He's in the financial world. He reminded me that I had taken him to Bear Creek, Montana, where we were involved in pig races. And at that time, the state of Montana would not allow betting on pigs. So as a kind of a joke, we entered a sheriff, a police officer, U.S. Marshal Leo Giacometto from Alzada. They got on tricycles, and we had a pig race of law enforcement. And Keith just happened to be one of the people that I invited up to Bear Creek. And eventually Pitts DeArmond, who owned the bar, was successful in getting legislation passed to allow gaming on pigs. So again, I want to thank you for listening to me, being so kind to me as a congressman. And I'll be here bright and early tomorrow to finish my gig as a fill-in for Aaron. So again, Montana, have a great day. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Hey.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.